That's what she said.
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 What she said.
Hi, my friends. Welcome to That's What She Said. I'm Therese, and you have tuned in for an intimate, cozy conversation about love from the comfort of my bed. Can you feel it? Welcome to this episode. Is everybody making it through February? Or whenever you're listening to this, make it through Valentine's Day. I was going to say something about Valentine's Day, but honestly, I think it's sort of a garbage holiday, so I'm not going to. Peace and love to those who celebrate, and I'm just going to skip right over that holiday here. Guys, we are nearly three quarters of the way through this, our fourth season, holy hell. And one thing I wanted to make sure to tell you is that we have these very, very cute mugs for sale, mint diner mugs with the That's What She Said logo on them. And they are so cute. You can check them out on our social media, on Instagram, and they're available for sale on our website. thatswhatshesaidpod.com. So head on over, check those out, and grab yourself one of those mugs. We would love your support, and we would love for you to be drinking tea in the utmost style. Get after it. Our guest this week is Julia Jordan, and Julia is a wonderful playwright and screenwriter. She's also a founder and the executive director of the Lily Awards Foundation, and that foundation was named after the playwright Lillian Hellman, formed in 2010 to honor female playwrights and to address the shortage of plays by women that get produced in America. It's a fantastic organization. I cannot say enough about it. It just had a big write-up in the New York Times. And so I was thrilled to have Julia on as someone who is also working to amplify female voices, but also a mutual friend who recommended her to this podcast told me I had to have Julia on because she had this tremendous aha moment in her mid-30s. That's an aha moment as trademarked by Oprah. She had this aha moment in her mid-30s and totally switched gears in terms of what she was pursuing and how she was pursuing it romantically, and just kind of did a 180 in terms of manifesting what she wanted in her life. I'm not going to say any more than that for fear of spoilers, but this conversation was really interesting to me in terms of the stories that we tell ourselves and the stories that we are playing out romantically and how much choice and agency we actually have in rewriting those stories. So let's do it. But before we do, I want to tell you all that this episode is brought to you by Warby Parker. I know I've been talking about how I need new glasses, and that's why I'm so excited that Warby Parker is a sponsor. The answer is no. I have not gotten new glasses yet, but I'm still on the hunt. Warby Parker make beautiful vintage-inspired prescription frames, and they make it really easy for you to shop. So listeners of That's What She Said can receive a free 5-day at-home try-on. Go to the website, pick out 5 pairs of glasses that you love. They send them to you. You have 5 days to try them on and decide which one you like best, or decide you like none of them. 100% free for you. Don't you need some new glasses? Check it out at warbyparkertrial.com/thatswhatshesaid. And now, my friends, I give you Julia Jordan. All she told me was that at some point you lived on a boat for a long time.
20 years, almost. Just shy, a few months shy.
20 years on a boat?
Yes.
Exclusively? Like, that was your main residence?
Except for the year that I went to Ireland, yeah.
Wow. So we're going to get nautical in a second, but the other thing she told me was that you had, like, because we were talking about Oprah, I think. She said you had, like, the most, like, intense aha moment in your life. She was like, you have to ask her about this, like, aha moment.
Because we're talking about love lives, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, I did.
So I want to nail the ship, and I want to nail the aha moment.
Okay.
But so first, let's start back when you were young. Do you remember your first crush?
Yeah.
Who is this?
His name was Gary Goddard, and it was in England, and it was kindergarten.
Was he British?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he gave me my first 45 record.
Oh, do you remember what it was?
When we moved back to the States, and it was Cat Stevens' Morning Has Broken.
Oh, that's legitimately good.
I know, it's kind of sweet. It was very sweet. We sang that song every day at school. That was, we sang that. That was like our morning thing.
Oh my God.
School there, which I think is such a sweet thing to do, and every school should do that. But yeah, and he gave me that.
Oh, Gary.
I know.
Did you ever keep in touch?
No, but I keep looking for him on Facebook every once in a while and wondering, is that him? Is that him? Oh no. There's a lot of people with that name in England. I have no idea.
And what was your parents' relationship like? Like, what did they model for you?
They are together.
Mm-hmm.
Still yeah, pretty solid. You know, they've definitely had their ups and downs, and more when we were younger.
Mm-hmm.
But I think because they worked it out, I don't think I'm ever going to get divorced. I'm pretty sure. And my husband's the same way.
Wow.
I guess never say never, but it just seems like
the model
almost not on the table.
And the model is like sticking together.
Yeah, because both of his parents are really good together, too, and, yeah. You know.
And then when would you say, like, you met your first great love? What chapter of your life was that?
I think my first great love was in New York, and is the reason I lived on the boat.
Okay.
His name's Christian. We're still friends.
Is he still at sea?
Sorry?
Is he still at sea?
No, I got the boat and the breakup. He he was Canadian, French Canadian.
Okay.
And he had only learned English a few years before, so he had a really adorable accent.
Where did you meet?
In a restaurant. I worked in restaurants for many, many, many years.
As a server?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then I ended up managing Lucky Strike and
oh, great, cool.
Just bartending, stuff like that. So I met him in a restaurant on the Upper West Side. Well, yeah. He was French Canadian and he did not have his green card. And we were pretty much in young love, and I was 20.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically the minute I was 21, I asked him to marry me.
What? Hold
yes,
on.
And we got married.
Wait. You asked him to marry you so that he could stay, or mm-hmm. because you also wanted to marry him?
I was in love with him. I wow. wanted to marry him in a I just turned 21 kind of way.
And were your parents like, great, go for it?
They did not know.
They didn't know. Wait, this is scandalous.
It was a little scandalous. And I also have a cousin with the exact same name as me. Her name's Julie Jordan, uh-huh. but she also lives on the Upper West Side. So what happened was the restaurant that we worked at wanted to get his green card like number so they could file to make him a legal employee.
Uh-huh.
And they weren't, I don't know, the manager wasn't in the office or something, so he just dialed 411 to get my number, and he got her number, and he was like, so now that you're married, and she immediately called my uncle.
She knew it was a call
dad.
For you? She knew?
She had no idea that we were married, but she found it out, and she immediately told on me.
Oh my God,
so
what
my
a terrible
dad
cousin.
Came out and was, again, lost it.
Wait, so but before we get to the arrival of your dad on the scene, were you in your mind like, this is my husband, this is my
yeah,
future?
Totally.
Wow. What gave you that conviction? Just your feelings for him?
Loved him.
Loved him so much. Did you go to the courthouse?
Yeah.
What did it feel like to like secretly get married at the courthouse at 21?
It was really fun. I wore black velvet.
Yes.
I had daffodils were my bouquet. We went to Acme, which is still there, but
yeah.
You at the time it was like a Texas fried chicken kind of place.
Oh my God.
And we loved it.
And was
we
he
had
your...
lunch there afterwards and lemonade. And I went to school the next day because I had missed classes.
To
and
get married.
They were like, where were you? And I was like, I was getting married. And the teachers were like, oh my God.
Happy for you.
And they get me automatic A's. Yeah.
No way.
I swear to God.
What? And did you wear a ring?
Did I have a ring? No, I didn't really have a ring.
Okay. And was he your age?
He was like 2 years older or something.
So then how long between the wedding and your dad finding out?
6 months.
Oh, so you had like a little honeymoon period. Mm-hmm. And were you like, I guess I'll tell everyone at some point? Like, what was your plan?
What was my plan?
To reveal.
With my parents?
With anybody, yeah, with your family. To
oh,
be like...
we would just get married in a quote-unquote church mm-hmm. later,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm. And they would never know you were married already. Yeah. Got you. So then your dad shows up and loses his mind.
Mm-hmm.
Did he know the guy?
Yes, and liked him a lot.
Oh, that complicates things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he, I mean, you know, my parents were brought up Catholic, so they're not they're definitely progressive Catholics, mm-hmm. but, you know, I think it was pretty shocking to them that, mm-hmm. yeah.
You would go ahead and
do it my way.
Did your dad come to New York to be like, this is ending now? Or what was his...
I'm sure that at that point, at some point that night, he was like, this is not happening. But by the next morning, you know, I mean, they love me. They love him. We didn't do anything bad. I mean, it was just not to their...
traditional.
Yeah, specifications morally.
And then how did Christian get you on the boat?
So Christian was used to be allowed to rent boats at the boat basin on 79th Street. So mm-hmm. he had been renting a boat for just like 6 months or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I moved in with him. And we were there together for like a year. Or maybe a year and a half.
On a boat.
A little houseboat that we were renting.
Walk me through, like, how do you get from land to the boat?
So it's on a dock, not a mooring.
Got you. Okay.
So there's like five docks.
Great.
And
you just walk right on.
Yeah. And at the time there were like, I don't know, 60, 70 boats that all were being lived on.
Wow.
Maybe more. I think more, actually. I think it was more like 100. At that time there were a lot. And then
was it like
every boat was being lived on.
And it was like a little neighborhood, like everybody knew everybody and...
You knew everybody on your dock.
Huh.
Yeah, and the more popular people. You know, some people are more social than others. I mean, it was a real big spread. And back then, because it was rentals, there were a lot of people came and went.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people would come, especially in the summer. Mm-hmm. Or they'd come and it was fun for a while. And then, you know, the winter was, you know, you really did have to work. There was a lot of work involved. And the winter wasn't exactly comfortable.
Because it was cold.
It could be really cold. You had to deal with whatever your heating system was. Mm-hmm. Get fuel. I mean, at one point, I don't know why we had a wood-burning stove on our boat, but we did.
And that's terrifying.
He was on tour, and I ran out of... It was like a coal. We were doing coal.
Oh, my God.
Which was so hot. Like, I was, like, literally in my underwear every night, and then the morning, it would have gone out, and it would be so cold. Because coal is really hot. And then I ran out, and I didn't know, like, how to get more, and he was in France, and I don't know.
What was he on tour doing?
I don't know, some...
He's a musician, or a...
No, he was an actor.
Oh, an actor.
Yeah, he was doing some show. So I literally started collecting firewood in the park, and I had a saw, and I was, like, sawing it up, and I make myself a little fire.
Did you do the boat life because you loved it? Or because you loved him and that was where he lived? Like, is it what you wanted? Or was it just sort of something that...
At first, I moved in the summer. Mm-hmm. It was totally fun. And it was, you know, our romantic little... It was so cool. And I love being on the water.
Yeah.
I'm from Minnesota. And then it was ridiculously cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And we were both artists. And it basically meant that even when I was there alone... I worked 3 nights a week, and all of my friends worked 5,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was sort of my arts grant. You sort of paid for the rest of it in labor.
Huh.
You know, you had to get your own heat, you had to get your own water, toilets, you have to pump by hand.
Wow.
You have a tank in the bottom of the boat, and every few weeks you got to drag this long tube down the dock and attach it to your boat and suck everything out.
I mean,
it's not glamorous. This actually is work.
Yeah.
But I also, you know, especially when I had it to myself, I wrote there, and I was on the southernmost dock and the very last slip, so I was surrounded just by water.
Wow.
And, in the winter once, there was a seal on a little iceberg. I swear to God. And I would watch the ducks and the...
It's a completely different New York.
Mating season. Mm. It's amazing. The mm-hmm. cormorants. And then there's this time of the year when the cormorants are, like, swooping down. And there's all these eels that are, like, sticking their heads up. And it's crazy. It's,
wow.
like, there's a lot of nature going on.
Were you
there.
Already interested in, like, nature and camping and that kind of, like, scrappiness before the boat? Or was this, like, your first?
Well, yeah. I mean, I grew up canoeing and doing... Okay. like sort of wilderness outward boundy kind of
mm-hmm,
stuff
mm-hmm.
But, you know, those are lakes in northern Minnesota. This is Hudson River, so it's a little different. Yeah. But I didn't never lived on a boat before. I didn't know a thing about it.
Wow. So how long were you guys together, you and Christian?
We were together for about 4 years.
And what was, like, the arc of that relationship? Like, were you madly in love the whole time? Did it kind of start to...
He actually cheated on me once when he was on tour and came home and told me.
Wow. Because he felt guilty?
Because he felt guilty. And I just couldn't get over it.
Huh. Was he like, I did this thing, please forgive me and let's move on? And yeah. And for you it was...
And I want to be honest with you and all that. Yeah. And I was like...
What was the...
We stayed together another year, but I just... It was never the same for me.
What was the year like for you? Like, how did you...
Up and down, but I just never... It never was okay for me.
And was that your first heartbreak, too?
Yeah.
Yeah. How did you come to the decision that, like, you couldn't move on? Like, after the year of trying, what was the moment where you were like, this is... I can't?
Honestly, I never enjoyed having sex with him as much after that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just always kept thinking, God, I didn't do that to you. Not like I didn't have opportunities, so that's a difference. And I just felt like, but I gotta say, in his defense, we were raised really differently. His parents weren't together, and I don't think he... I had, you know, in my world... You don't do that, you know, because that's my parents. And in his world, it happened.
A little more gray area.
Yeah, yeah. A little more gray.
How did you, like, what did heartbreak look like on you? Like, was it sorrowful or was it...
Yeah, it was a lot of crying.
Yeah. What did you do to make yourself feel better?
God, I don't know. I just kind of felt terrible for the longest time.
Like, how long?
Like a year, and then after we broke up, even after that, it was like, then I missed him so much. So that was took a long time, too.
But the breakup also meant divorce, which is like...
Yeah, we got around to that, which was pretty easy, actually, because it was just, you know, papers, and we didn't have any stuff, you know?
Just
we
the boat.
We were poor, and, you know, there weren't any children or anything, but... It was really sad because we really did like each other. And like, even I would see him later, like years later, and I'd be on the boat and he would come by and I'd have another boyfriend or something. It was always super sad. But he's really happy now and I'm happy now.
And you guys are still friends?
Yeah.
God, that's wild.
I mean, he lives in Canada now, so I don't see him very often. But I check up on him.
Yeah. So that was... You were 21 when you got married. That was like a 4-year marriage. So now you're 25. And then he says, like, mea culpa so you can have the boat.
So, well, no, he went back to Canada, actually.
Oh, right then.
Well, not because we broke up. We broke up, you know, I couldn't do it anymore. And we broke up and I got an apartment for a little while. And then he decided to go back to Canada. His dad was an actor there. He had a lot more... professional opportunities there. So he moved back to Canada and I moved back on the boat.
Wow.
So that was maybe off the boat for a few months there in between.
And then back. Did it feel very different to be there without him?
Very different.
What was it like?
Well, I had always had, you know, a man who was there, you know, who was big and strong and would like do all the lugging of stuff and like he was very handy. He'd put in this heating system and
How long were you single after Christian?
I mean, I always, like, dated people. Let me see. My next serious boyfriend was maybe 2 years later.
And what, like, because you had gotten married so young and sort of had this idea of, like, this is my husband and here I go, and then that came undone... Were you at that time in your life, like, were you kind of like, well, whatever, or were you scared, or were you, you know, like, what was your headspace around what, like, your romantic life would be?
I mean, I think I was young enough that I sort of went more, after I got over, like, crying all the time, it was more like, whatever, you know, like, someone else.
Yeah.
And also, I think because he was in Canada, I mean, it was, he was very removed.
Yeah.
from my day-to-day.
But so then you were open to dating and just kind of, like, seeing what...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I was still in college when I met him, so...
Yeah, so young.
Yeah.
That's wild.
I think that's why the teachers at school thought it was... were so charmed by it, because it was sort of like what they had done in their generation.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is it's like... Back in the day, the idea of, like, going to college to get married was very, like, celebrated. I feel like
person I knew.
Friends that were sort of, like, married? Really?
Yeah, but they, I think they all kind of took it with a grain of salt, married, you know, because it was, you know, there was this green card issue, and we were so young, and our parents and families weren't involved, and you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
It wasn't a big announcement to the world, we are living as married couple. We were living together anyway.
Yeah. Was living on a boat then after Christian, like, an impediment to dating or, like, a benefit? Like, you could be like, hey, come back to my boat.
A lot of boys wanted to date my boat. A lot. No, it was almost like, if they were on my boat, they wanted to move in.
Wow. And you think it was about the boat?
Men love boats.
Yeah. What is that? Why?
I think they were just really romantic. And, like, if a boat, you can just sail off in the sunset, right?
Hmm.
And I think it's like, yeah.
That's interesting.
In New York City, real estate is such a deal.
Yeah.
It was such a tiny space, but because I had wraparound windows, it really didn't feel like a closet.
Yeah.
Even though it was probably smaller than most apartments, you know? And it was also because it was a boat, it might have been smaller, but everything was built in.
Mm-hmm. You could cook and everything? It was like a full...
tiny little kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Tiny.
So take us to, like, you're 25 now, and you're sort of starting to heal and starting to date. When is this, like, ominous aha moment? Like, at what point in your life was that?
Well, and skip over a bunch of boyfriends.
Well, I was going to sort of ask you, like, what was the landscape between then and the aha moment? What was happening in your love life?
Well, I'm in theater, too, so everybody I met was basically an actor or a writer or a director.
And were you writing at that time, or were you acting?
I went to acting school, but I literally auditioned for one day.
Oh, my God.
I went to 3 auditions in one day, and I was like, yeah, I'm never doing that again.
That's amazing. One day?
No way. I walked out of the last audition.
In the middle of it?
No, they told me what they were going to ask me to do, and I was like, I'm not doing that.
Oh, my God.
They wanted me to eat it was for a commercial, and they wanted me to pretend to eat a candy bar. And I was like, oh, come on. I'm not going to eat an imaginary candy bar. I'm just not going to do that. And dance to imaginary music. I was like, no.
Give me a candy bar and a boombox.
Yeah, no.
That's crazy.
I was just like, no.
So everyone you knew was in the theater. So the men you were dating were all in the theater.
Yeah, and I was working in restaurants, so everybody was in the theater.
Yeah.
And, or an actor.
What kind of men were you attracted to? Like, what was your type at that time?
Artsy-fartsy ones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, actors.
Mm.
Rock stars. Mm-hmm. Or people who wanted to be rock stars. You know? More like, yeah, definitely that.
Huh.
I mean, that was my vision for my life, is I was going to live in a loft in Soho with somebody who was already in. We were going to be cool together for the rest of our lives. I don't know. It was something like that. And then, yeah, so I had a whole series of those that were not necessarily great in the end.
Yeah, like, what made them not great? What irked you about those relationships?
Well, some of them, it was just too close. We were two writers and we're, like, going up against each other, literally competing for the same prize or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it was just hard.
Yeah.
One, I got pregnant.
Oh, wow.
And I wanted to keep the baby and he didn't. And that was, you know, heartbreaking.
Yeah. How old were you?
I think I was late 20s.
Wow.
Did
you want to keep the baby because you were ready to be a mother or because you wanted to have a family with him?
No, because once I got pregnant, I was like, oh, I wanted to keep the baby.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wasn't trying to get pregnant.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I think at the time, he was definitely a really good person.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if that hadn't happened at that time, we would have seriously thought about it. You know,
wow.
But it was such a difference at that time. Our careers were both very fledgling. And I was more willing to, like, sort of go halvesies on the career than he was, sort of, you know?
Huh. And so he didn't want to have the baby, so you ended up...
Yeah, having an abortion.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was that like for you?
You know, I'm definitely pro-choice, but and I'm really, you know, in retrospect, glad I did it. But at the time, I was devastated.
Mm.
That was like another, I just couldn't, I was like, end of the relationship, I just couldn't stop crying about it.
Yeah. Did he want to stay together?
He did.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's just like, feels like something you can't come back from.
Yeah. I think by the end of that year, I think we were both exhausted, you know?
Did you ever think about having the baby by yourself?
Later, much later, when it was getting to be like, oh my God, I'm 35. What am I going to do?
Not that baby, though. You never thought about having that baby by yourself?
No.
Did you tell people about that pregnancy?
I told my mom.
You did?
Yeah, I told my family. I told my close friends. But I didn't tell people that, you know, we're having the baby. I told my close friends that we were deciding what to do.
Did you have other friends that had abortions at that time?
People tended to tell me after they found out.
Mm-hmm. I feel like this is a terrible comparison, but I feel like it's like antidepressants or something. I remember I had a therapist once who was like talking about antidepressants, and he was like, do you know anybody who's on them? And I was like, maybe some people. And he was like, it's way more people than you think. Yeah. And it's like that. It's like one of those things that's kept super close to the vest,
mm-hmm.
unless you say me too, and then all of a sudden.
Then they tell you, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure people come out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
Wow. But I wondered, because I think that experience, in addition to being painful, could also be, like, really isolating.
Yeah, I guess if you didn't... My mom was so sweet on that one.
Mm.
She was really...
Good for a Catholic woman to be so...
Oh, I just remember she said this thing to me. She came out, she was so sad, and she said, if I could have gone through that for you, I would.
Oh. Mama love.
Oh, no, she meant it, too. I was like, oh, my God, I can't imagine my mom having an abortion. They're five kids, but she would have, you know, it was really sweet.
Hmm. So then that was your late 20s.
So that was my late 20s, mm-hmm. and then I had somebody for, like, 5 years that was very fraught and not good.
Mm-hmm. Fraught, like, fighting?
Up and down, like, just... You know, I was like, okay, now I need to meet somebody that's, you know, sort of on the path to the next stage of life, mm-hmm. you know, and getting married and having children.
Do you think that that's just an artist thing? Like the Peter Pan sort of like forever childish thing is like necessarily sort of an artist thing? You know what I mean? Like,
I think it's part personality and it's part just the fact that artists don't necessarily have stability, mm-hmm. and you know, and I think for men especially, they feel that they need to provide it. I mm-hmm. mean, and yeah,
and they can't really,
and they can't,
right?
Yeah,
right.
And I think I was always like had this sort of dual thing where I was, you know, I really liked actors and. You know, that talent crushes were usually my beginning of a real crush kind of thing. And I also was kind of always afraid of men that were in the more traditional doctors and lawyers type of people. Because I had this it was a literal fear that I would say out loud that if I dated somebody like that, my career would all of a sudden become a cute hobby.
Huh.
You know, whereas if I was with an actor or something, then it's a real thing.
That's
you know?
Interesting. That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that that's kind of what happened, but it is sort of. I mean, to be honest, you wow. know, my husband's a doctor, and we don't depend on my theater earnings for our family. I mean, as far as career does come first in terms of, like, every single day he does have to go to work, and my... As feminist as I am, my schedule revolves around that.
Yeah. So you never dated, like, a suit, I'll call them, before in your life? Before that sort of mid-30s?
No.
Because my experience, I've dated mostly artists, but some suits. And my experience was always like, I wish I liked suits because I would prefer stability. But when I've dated them, it's been so frustrating to me to have to translate. Mm-hmm. Like, do you know the shorthand you have with artists? Mm-hmm. You know what people are like, or if you see mm-hmm. a player. There's mm-hmm. just this, like, ease with which you can sort of cut through to the yeah. truth. That, and I don't mean to, like, disparage people who work other jobs. Obviously, this isn't entirely true. But even people that I liked a great deal, I was like, I couldn't just be like, oh, you know, he's one of those guys who's blah.
True. No, you know, I was like, that. But you know what I gotta say? After marrying one of them and spending a lot of time in that world and a lot less time in the
artist
arty world,
yeah.
that I've been completely steeped in for like 20 years
yeah.
exclusively. I gotta say it's a little bit shocking to come back in and like visit and have people, this is just a blank thing. It's yeah. like one of the first things theater people do when they see each other is like, so how are you?
Mm-hmm.
And then what are you up to?
On? Yeah.
Which is like, what are you at? And then literally we get a rundown of the resume. Mm-hmm. It's very bizarre.
So you think that that's an art thing? I always thought that that's like an East Coast thing.
Well, what do you do as like, let me figure out whether I'd pigeonhole you as an artist right. or a suit is an East Coast thing, but give your resume of
yeah.
the past 6 months since I saw you? No, people who have real jobs don't do that.
Yeah.
Why would they do that?
Right, because you don't need to, like, prove...
Well, you know, like, my husband was like, oh, I had a really interesting surgery on Thursday, and da-da-da-da. I'm like, nobody does that.
Yeah. It's, like...
It's very odd.
With the stability, you also get a sense of, like, I know who you are, I know what you do, you're welcome mm-hmm. here. As opposed to, like, I that totally resonates for me, the idea of being an artist is, like, you have to constantly be earning mm-hmm. someone's time, their attention. Like, should I be talking to you? Have you mm-hmm. done anything in the last 6 months or upcoming that makes you worth my time, you know?
Yeah. God, it's brutal. And it's also, like, to be completely fair, it's also, I think, because we're so incestuous and we all work together, mm-hmm. it's like, who else is in that show that mm-hmm. I might know? And mm-hmm. who are you working with that is my friend? And so there's a lot of that kind
yeah.
of triangulating social part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not total slam, but it is an interesting thing.
That's fascinating.
I found it really shocking.
Huh.
Because I had gone away and had a baby, so I'm really away, and then went back in, I was like, what is this? Oh my God.
Wow. That's so fascinating.
I used to do that too. I still do that. If they ask me, I'll tell them.
Yeah.
Nothing. I've been doing nothing.
Oh, you know, having children. Okay, but before we get to hint to meeting your husband, you were in this kind of tumultuous relationship. Would you say that the main tension there was that you knew you wanted kind of like to get married and to have kids and this person didn't?
Yeah. I really, really, I was getting really, really tired of hanging out in bars.
Yeah.
Till 2 a.m.
Yeah.
I was just like, I'm too old for this. I was bored of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then you had this like lightning strike moment?
So what happened was we broke up over that and
did you do the breaking up? Did you always do the breaking up?
No, that time he broke up with me.
Okay.
But I think I was pretty much on him all the time. I know I was. I mean, I was just like, so like, no, you not this, don't do that.
Yeah.
Like, this is not, wasn't working for me. No,
yeah.
I was like on him. I was hating it. So, yeah, so we broke up and it was really hard because I had got it in my head that I had to make that one work.
Mm.
And then because of my age, because I was getting to, I was 35.
Yeah.
Just about to be 35 when we broke up.
And I was like, there's like such a particular brand of like terror, pressure, shame, fear. I think around that age for women who want to have kids.
Well, we were told that was the cutoff.
Well, and like, I think like part of why I make this show is to pull apart the narratives around this stuff. Like, does it really do you have to get married? Do you have, like, can't we all find our own? I think it's so silly that there's like this one narrative that we all share, even though we are so individual.
Yeah.
Except this. Except like women who are a certain age who want to have kids. And then it's all earned, like that fear and that anxiety
yeah.
and the need for a partner. And the.
And like, I would literally like stay up late at night and be like, if this doesn't work, if I can't like get him into shape to be a dad,
yeah.
And we break up. I would sit there, lie there, and do calculations in my head.
how long will it take me to like find someone else?
Yeah.
And then
will I end up
find someone I even like?
Exactly.
You know, and who likes me back?
Exactly.
And then get to the point where you decide to get married, yeah, and then start trying to have children, and it's going to be harder because you're not 22.
Geriatric.
Yeah. And then what if you find out you have issues?
Yeah.
I mean, I would be like, okay, at least a year to find him. At least a year to find out that you're getting. Now we're talking 37. I mean, I would literally be like, oh my god. Yeah. So I went home, the big aha moment. Should I get there?
Yeah, yeah.
So I went home for Christmas and I was smoking at the time.
Cigarettes. You wild woman.
I know, it's very bad. and I had a little bit of, I have a little niece who, she just, you know, she's just my little niece who just adored me. Like I would show up and she would like slap her little hand in mine and like hold on to me the entire time it's there. And when I left, she would be like, don't go back to you, Nork, and like cry. And you know, she was like my little someone. And she was always so excited to see me. And then I was always like sneaking out and having a cigarette and like calling my friends at home and going out late and drinking and da 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 da. And it was cold because it's Minnesota. And there was just one day I just kind of, you know, they had just opened their presents, all the little kids, and it was also wholesome and sweet. And then I snuck out for my cigarette.
In the morning.
And I was like, God, this is not cool anymore. Being like the cool aunt is not cool anymore. Yeah. I was like, I'm a little too old for this.
Yeah.
So when I got back to New York, I just was like, I just decided to change my life. And I quit smoking. I quit smoking. And
cold
then
turkey.
I called up all of my girlfriends and said, do not take me out and cheer me up. Like, just
about
don't.
The breakup?
About anything. But don't. I don't want to meet anyone. I don't want to go out and socialize. I don't want to have anything. I just want, you just need, everybody just needs to stay away from me for a while. And I just need to be alone.
What did that mean in terms of, like, your friendships? Like, what were you asking for?
I was asking them to not, you know, I mean, at that time when you went out, if you weren't attached to someone, you know, didn't have a partner, you were essentially going out to kind of meet people,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, I'm just not doing that. Hmm. Just not. And I didn't want to drink.
Mm-hmm.
So I just didn't want to have any alcohol. I didn't want to, and I decided to just start going to the gym, like religiously. I became a total gym rat. my little sister lived close by at the time, and was pregnant, so we went for a walk every day.
Wow,
in the park.
That's so nice.
Yeah, so that was nice. So we walked in the park every day, I went to the gym for like 2 hours a day.
Hold on, are you still on the boat now?
No,
you'd given up the boat.
My husband made me. One strike against him.
Wait, but then you meet him later, so why were you not on the boat when you were...
No, I was on the boat then.
So this, when you're going through this year...
I'm on the boat.
That's what I meant, yeah. Now in the story, you're
Oh, yeah.
You're still on the boat, okay.
Yeah, I'm on the boat. So...
A man got you on the boat and a man got you off the boat. That's so
totally
funny.
So we went for a walk and I got a therapist and I went and, you know...
First time.
I started seeing him... Yeah, and he was the greatest.
Nothing as good as a good therapist.
Oh my God, I love him so much.
Yeah.
And he was just like, you know, you're a little depressed, but mostly you just need to make a decision. So that went on for a couple weeks. And then one night I was really bored. And I decided to look online at like match.com and... My girlfriend, a lot of people had told me to do it. My mom, like, stop dating actors. Go, you can find different kinds of people. But at the time, it really felt like, I mean, this was a while ago, so it really felt like getting a personal ad, you know, that
totally.
Was kind of creepy.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was sort of felt like, I was like, there's no way I am ever gonna do that. Like, I don't have a problem getting a man. You know, that was my whole attitude.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But... I was really bored and I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna look.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna post anything and I'm not gonna write to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just gonna look. So I started going through and I didn't go on Match. I went on nerve.com because another friend of mine who did it, she said that if you went to match.com, you would just meet a dentist from New Jersey.
Wait, what's nerve.com?
I don't think it even exists anymore.
Oh, I've never even heard of it.
But it was a thing then. So I went on nerve.com.
It was a cooler one?
It was supposed to be cooler.
Yeah.
And it had, she said, you know, sometimes there's creepy guys, but if they, you know, put a picture of their penis, then just don't write to them. You know, it was like very simple. So I spent like a half an hour and I was looking and I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. And I kept clicking on people that I thought were cute and whatever. And then after a certain amount of time, they kick you off unless you post something.
Yeah, because you're the creep.
Yeah, so I was like, well, I was having fun looking, so mm-hmm. I was like, okay, so I'm going to post something, but I'm not going to put a picture. I'm going to put virtually no information, mm-hmm. so nobody will ever write to me. Mm-hmm. So I was going through, and I was just leaving everything blank that I could possibly leave blank. And then there came this question of basically, what are you looking for? Mm-hmm. And I wrote, definitely not an artist. That's all I put.
Wow.
And then I posted it so I could keep looking, and I was looking. And then I was realizing that all the people I was clicking on were artists because I could smell it through the picture.
Of course.
And then I thought, well, maybe if there's someone for me that's right for me, they're doing the exact same thing I'm doing. Hmm. And they're not posting a picture because they don't really want
exactly
to be doing this.
And you would never look at a blank picture in one sentence and be like, is it? Oh, it's you.
Yeah, so I unclicked that little thing, so I got the ones with no pictures, and my husband's was a second or third one I read.
Wait, this is crazy. I thought you were going to say, then of course I had to put a picture and more of my interest.
Nope. I read like the first two or three, and I got to his, and it was very, very blank, and in the part where it said, what are you looking for, it said, definitely not anyone in the medical profession may be an artist.
Whoa.
So I wrote to him and said, you should look at my profile. And he wrote back pretty quickly, like that night, do you want to have a drink? Where are you in the city? And I wrote Upper West Side, and he wrote me too. And we made a date for January 15th. And our son was born on January 15th of the following year.
What?
Swear to God.
What in the hell? No picture?
No picture.
How did you even know it was him when you saw him?
After he made a date, he sent me a picture of himself. And
were you
it
scared?
Was a picture from his like graduation of like school? College or oh. something like that. And he had gained 30 pounds
since then.
In med school and residency and everything because they work so hard, right? Yeah. Now, and they have no time to do anything but like go to Burger King. So so he looked completely different. And he also had the flu.
When you met?
When we met.
Wow, that's hot.
And there was only one stool at the bar available, and I was at the gym with my sister before, and it was just a few blocks away, and she was like, are you gonna take a shower or put on some makeup? And I was like, no, because it's an internet date, and I'm just gonna get through it because I said I would, and
that's
like,
the way.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, no, I'm going in sweats and my North Face jacket.
Yes.
And that's all he's getting. That's it. And I got there, and he just kept insisting that I sit down. I could see he was sweating. He had a fever. And he was just everything that was not my type, like, a week before. You know what I mean? Like, he was a doctor. I don't know. It was just so, the whole thing was so odd, but he was so nice. And he kept saying, no, you sit. And I was like, no, you really should sit, because you're super ill. And then we finally got two seats together, and he had a glass of wine. He got up, and he went to the bathroom, and he was gone for a while. He says he didn't throw up. He swears this day he didn't throw up. He said he was just throwing cold water in his face.
Buddy.
I know.
Also, good for him for not canceling the date.
Right?
Totally.
We bond over our brothers coming out of the closet stories.
Both your brothers came out?
Yeah, but we both have gay brothers. We bonded over that, so thank you to them. And then we were walking home, and I just said to him, I was like, why did you come if you're so ill? And he said, I just had a good feeling because it's an internet date. I knew that if I blew it off, it probably wouldn't happen.
Oh.
which I thought was so nice. And...
Well, also, like, considering what does happen, it's like a miracle.
Yeah, right?
So when you went to bed that night on the boat, were you like, oh my God, this is something? Or were you like, eh?
Mm-hmm. I was like, huh.
Sick doctor.
I was more like, And then a couple weeks later, he asked me if I wanted kids. And I said yes. And I was like, well, wow, I guess that. And
is he your did age? Too.
He is 2 years younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess I'll tell you everything because it's a podcast. So it was just like one night, you know, he just said, I want to make you pregnant. And I was like, okay. And then the next morning I was like, we can never do that again. That is crazy.
This is 3 months in.
Yeah. I was like, that is crazy town. We can never, that was ridiculous. Never, ever, ever, ever again. And we were pregnant.
Oh my God. How old were you then?
So I gave birth when I was 38.
Okay. So you were 37.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, it's very hopeful for me. So I hope so.
No, I got pregnant when I was 38 and I gave birth when I was 38.
Wow.
Right before I turned 39.
So marriage wasn't necessarily the front runner. It was like, let's get pregnant.
We got pregnant.
And then when you found out you were pregnant, how did you feel?
Great.
So at that point, this person had become like solid ground. Like you were like, this is someone.
No, I mean, we definitely had some things that we had to work out in the first year. But I guess it was more like an old-fashioned marriage. You know, it was just like, it was a little bit like matchmaker, but we made the match ourselves.
Wow. And then how long after you started dating did you get married?
We were going to wait until after we had the baby, but his mom really wanted us to get married before. So I think I was 6 months pregnant at the wedding.
Oh my God.
And we did it in Maryland at his parents' house, and it was just like in the country, and we were going to literally have his brother shoot off his shotgun so we could have a shotgun wedding. But we were afraid that my grandma, who was like pushing 100, would like
die.
Yeah, have a heart attack or something. So we didn't, but I still regret that.
Wow. So but did you, like, you were bound in some ways because you made that decision, kind of non-decision so early. So what did it feel like to be with someone where you're like, we're together, we're gonna be together, but it wasn't necessarily...
Well, it was kind of great because we had decided that we were going to, before we found out we were pregnant, that we're going to go on this bike ride from Florida to North Carolina or something. And he's a really big biker and I'm not. So I was supposed to be training and I just never felt like training, you know, I just didn't feel like it. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I'll go for a little bike ride. Like, no. And I guess because I was pregnant and then he had gone down. I mean, this is how new we were as a couple. He had a wedding. He had RSVP to as a single person when he got the invitation. And then we had met and got pregnant, but did not know we were pregnant. And he couldn't really change it. So he went down to Florida first to this wedding. And then I was supposed to fly down with my bike to meet him. And then we were going to start biking together. And I was just calling him that morning before I got on the plane. I was just like, I'm not coming. I was just in tears, which is not really like me. I was just crying. I was like, I'm not coming. The cab is late. And now they wouldn't take the bike. They didn't have room for the bike. And then when I got to the airport, I kept calling him. Like, everything was going wrong. Ugh. The airport, they were like, you have to pay him extra money to fly the bike down there. And you were supposed to fill out these forms and da-da-da. And everything was just making me crazy. And I was just like calling and calling and crying and crying. And then I finally got there and I was just all shaky. And he was just like, I don't know. He must have thought I was a little bit of a crazy person. And I got off the plane. It was one of those tiny little Florida airports.
Mm-hmm.
And I was walking through and I saw, you know, that they had the Hertz and the Avis place was like right there when you walk out because it's so tiny. And I saw him at a Hertz and I could see that he was renting a car so I wouldn't have to bike.
Oh my God.
And I was just like, oh my God, I love this bike. And then we got in the car and we put the bikes in the back. He's like, you can bike tomorrow if you want, and I'll bike and you can drive, whatever you want to do, we can do whatever you want. I was like, you're so nice to me. And then he's like, I was like, I don't know what's wrong, maybe I'm getting my period. And he was like, well, are you due? And I was like, And then I started doing the calculations. And then we found like a CVS.
And you were like, remember that night?
Stick to pee on. And then we got to our first, we drove the 50 miles that we were supposed to bike. And we got to our first, you know, bed and breakfast. And we went upstairs. And I peed on that stick. And when that little line came up, he was so excited. That's when I was like, oh, this will be fine. I mean, he was so happy. He was freaking out.
We barely knew each other.
He was so happy.
Oh my God. And that to you was like, he's going to be a good dad.
Oh my God. He was like, could not contain himself. He was so happy.
Oh my God. We were like
jumping around and he immediately went down and told the people that owned the bed and breakfast and the whole, everybody was staying there, was thrilled. And then like for the rest of the trip, he was like, you can't bike. You're pregnant. And we went and bought all these. He called his friend who's like a neonatal doctor. And got us, like, you know, got vitamins. Me on his health insurance right away and went and got me the little calcium chews and the neonatal vitamins and bought all the books of names and stuff. And we spent the whole trip, like...
Oh, my God.
It was amazing.
And you just felt, like, elated.
I was so happy. And then when my parents were really happy. My grandma was so cute. She had met him before. We had been to Florida, like, a week before or something, and she... Her husband died when my mom was 16, and they kind of look alike. And my grandma loves to dance, and we were at some restaurant, and they had music, so he danced with her, and I still have this picture of that thing. But she, when I told her, she said, well, we Catholic girls are not supposed to use birth control. That was her take on the whole thing.
Like, that's what would make this all work out?
And then she was like... So, in some sense, you did the right thing.
That's a very scary moral of the story. We're not condoning not using birth control.
I was putting a good spin on it. And then she said, I have a sparkly love for that young man. So that was nice.
Now, how long have you been married?
Whatever my son is.
How old is your son?
So he's going to be 13. Wow. January 15th.
Okay, so I have two.
So we go by his birthday instead, not our wedding day. Right. So we've been together 14 years.
Wow.
Next week.
And so what has it felt like to be with someone for so long who you met on the internet, is not an artist, was such a departure for you, and then you decided to be together so soon in the relationship? Like, what has it been like to be married for so long to someone where, like, you could look at those beginning tea leaves and be like, I don't know how this is going to go. Do you know what I mean?
We definitely had some big, like, wait a second. You think what? You do what? You know, like, in the first 3 or 4 years, like, some adjusting. Especially because I think a lot of it was we weren't 20. We had ways of doing things, and we are used to very different worlds and different value systems. But at the core, we are from the same kinds of families, and we have the same level of education. They always say that's important.
Yeah.
And we have the same, we agree on, like, moral religious things. And sometimes I think we kind of also got to have our honeymoon inside our marriage. So I think, you know, it was pretty romantic too. We weren't bored of each other at all.
Yeah.
And now, I don't know, I feel like pretty damn lucky because I'm not going to say we don't have fights, but we don't, maybe once a year.
Wow. God, that's good.
That's really pretty damn good, right? Because I'm a fighter.
Yeah.
I really am. My history is like,
Irish Catholic.
Yeah.
And what has being a mother been like compared to what you know, when you were laying in bed and doing the calculations and sort of thinking like, okay, I have to have a kid, I want to have a kid or whatever. Like, how has your expectation of what motherhood would be compared to the actual experience?
I love being a mom. I love it. I'm super sad that I don't have another one. And that the soft little, like my boy, he's taller than me now.
Oh my God.
And yeah.
Did you want to try for another one or you didn't even?
I had a really hard time getting pregnant the second time.
You did?
I had, you know, instant pregnancy the first time. But, you know, I was older and we went to IVF and that didn't work. And then I got really, we were going to adopt. Mm-hmm. And then I just got lucky and got pregnant.
Oh, so you do have a second?
Yeah.
I didn't realize.
So I have two, a boy and a girl.
And how old is your daughter?
And she is 8. But she is like, you know, she's definitely all the little girl stuff is falling off her and she's getting into the solid girl. And my boy is, you know, he's starting to look a little bit like a man.
Yeah.
Like, he's shaved twice. Oh, only buddy. Tiny little whiskers on the side that are very soft, but they're dark, you know?
But so he's 14, she's 13 and she's 8, so you were early 40s when you had her?
I was kind of almost mid 40s. I was 44.
Wow.
Yeah. That's my biggest regret is that, you know, sometimes it makes me sad that I'll be like, if they have children late, mm-hmm. I'm not going to know my grandkids, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. That makes me really sad. Yeah. But, and I do, I just love that little, their little bodies when they're all, like, wrapped up in you in the morning. And it's going to be really ending soon. I mean, yeah. She still loves it, but,
yeah,
you know, she'll sneak into my bed and snuggle up.
Yeah.
But he's, like, you know. He'll, most of the hugs I get from him are just to drive her crazy. He'll just like, he'll be hugging me and looking at her like, mom's loving on me. Oh, it's just so God. She'll go nuts.
So when you look back, I mean, it's like a really incredible story that you have. Like when you look back over the scope of it, this is a huge question, but like, do you feel like you can crystallize the greatest thing that you learned about like love and relationships through the experiences you've had?
Honestly, when I talk to my friends that are still looking or frustrated or anything, I just, for me, it was letting go of the idea of what I thought I wanted.
Hmm. Which is what that kind of cocooning time was.
Yeah, it was just like this idea that I needed to be with a certain kind of person, mm-hmm. and that, you know, and noticing that I kept clicking on the same person that wasn't making me happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the internet is such a good, like, tool because you were physically doing it, looking for the wrong kind of person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I was also, you know, just putting that aside. Like, sometimes, I hope my ex-boyfriends don't hear this, but sometimes, like, when I first met my husband, I was like, gosh, she's not really my type physically, mm-hmm. you know? And all my other girlfriends were like, yeah, he's better looking. You know? He used to not be attractive. Those guys were not very attractive. But I was like, really? And they were like, yeah, because he's gorgeous. And they're like, oh.
Yeah.
I was like, oh. Yeah. You know, it was interesting.
There's a kind of blindness too.
Yeah. And now I'm like, now I can see it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. Did you ever, like, secretly in the privacy of your own, like, insides, did you ever, like, miss anything about any of those kinds of men, or is it sort of like out of sight, out of mind?
Not really. I kind of had my fill.
Yeah.
I gotta say, I had enough years mm-hmm. to get, I mean, it was really out of my system.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be cool in New York City bars anymore.
Yeah.
I just had no desire to do that at all.
Totally. Have your lives now sort of bifurcated? Like you were saying, you're not around theater people as much or in the same way. Like, does it feel like two separate lives in some way? Or do you feel like just a different home base?
Well, honestly, we moved up to, when we had the kid, we moved up to Westchester because mm-hmm. we couldn't really afford anything in the city in Manhattan at the time.
And Westchester was cheaper?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh God, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's not all Westchester isn't big grand mansions, mm-hmm. you know? So, and his parents were there, so we thought that would be, they would be, you know, they wanted to be near the grandkids and da da da. And we had, neither of us had grown up in a city, mm-hmm, you know, like mm-hmm. I grew up in the Twin Cities, but it's more like Westchester, it's houses and yards, you know. So we thought that was going to be good. And then honestly, he didn't really actually want to go back to his hometown, and was kind of realized that when he got there, and mm-hmm. I never really found any friends there either. Mm-hmm. So when we moved back to, and then now to Brooklyn, then I felt like my two worlds came together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did feel very isolated from theater when I lived up there and my friends. But now I'm physically here. And also my kids are older And so I'm more involved now.
Mm-hmm.
So no, I don't feel that issue anymore.
Separation.
Yeah, and I think I've found more people who have had children. So we're kind of figuring it out together.
Yeah, totally. So we should wrap, but two last lighter questions. Can you think of the most romantic thing anyone's ever done for you? Which the car obviously sounds like a front runner, but like it could be a partner or like your mom or, you know, anything that comes to mind when you think of like the most loving gesture anyone's made toward you.
I think it was probably Doug jumping around being excited when...
Mm. Doug.
When he saw the... I mean, we kept that pee stick for the longest time. Oh. You know, he called it the pee stick. Just kept it. Like, Doug, just don't throw it away. And I also love... like, such a great, happy moment, yeah, you know? That, yeah, he was so thrilled.
It's so against the stereotype of, like, a man being like, oh, no, she's pregnant. It's, like, such a beautiful...
God. He's, like, physically jumping.
Oh, Doug.
And I didn't know, you know, I really did not know what his...
How he would feel.
Yeah.
Wow. Also nice that he's a doctor. It's like, I just feel like... My dad's a doctor, so I'm always like, I feel like you're in good hands. You know, mm-hmm, what I mean? Globally. As you look forward in your life, like, what's your wish for yourself romantically going forward? Or, like, capital L love.
I hope not my grandchildren,
mm-hmm,
without pushing my kids. And I'm trying to figure out whether or not I care about having another show, mm-hmm, as a writer. Like, mm-hmm, at a certain point I decided to like put that aside and concentrate on being a mom and running my nonprofit. And then recently I've been like, what? True? I don't know. So that's, mm-hmm, what I'm trying to figure out.
Cool. Whether there's space for all of it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad that Emily recommended you. The very last thing is to say the title of the show, which is On That Pillow.
That's what she said.
Thank you, Julia.
That's what she said.
That's what she said.
What she said.
That's what she said.